Hello and welcome to the Ham Radio Crash Course Podcast. Thanks for checking us out again on this weekly podcast.
You assumed that this is their second time listening.
I told you, wait until you're introduced. Without further ado, let's get started. Well, hello, Leia. Thanks for jumping the gun on that one. How you doing today?
Can I talk now?
Yes.
Okay.
How's it going?
Oh, so good. Today, you brought me flowers and a new iPad.
Well, I brought you an iPad.
Yeah, I mean, most of my electronics are just passed down from you to me.
Yeah. So I bought myself an iPad.
I got a hex beam.
That's true. Where would you like to put your hex beam?
There's no more space, given the step higher that's on the roof.
But where could we put a hex beam? Maybe on your car. You could drive with it every day.
You know what was so funny is that somebody came to the house today because, you know, I'm on the executive board for the Chinese school.
Somebody came to the house today?
Yes.
Okay.
And they were coming to the house to bring me a check that I needed to sign. Mm-hmm. And when they walked up to the house, the first thing they did was look at the roof.
Yes.
And then they looked at the house. It was their first time ever coming to our house, obviously. Mm-hmm. And he goes, "I'm so jealous." And I immediately paused. Okay. I immediately assumed, because of all of the other times people looked at the roof and made a comment, that it was because they were hams.
Oh.
And what he says is, "You live so close to the school."
Damn. Oh, because he looked up and then said, "I'm so jealous."
Yeah.
Wholly unrelated to his internal monologue of what the hell is going on the roof at this time. I was so excited. I'm like, I know.
So
thank you for ripping that excitement right out of my chest. I appreciate that. That was very good. Well, everybody, thanks for joining us on the Ham Radio Crash Course Podcast. This is the third week in a row. Oh my gosh.
Amazing weekly consistency. Podcast
where we talk about ham radio. And again, you can find us, obviously, wherever you podcast. And if you could, give
us
a review.
Where do you listen to podcasts?
I use something called Broadcastify? Downcast. It's an iPhone app.
So I use Stitcher.
We're on Stitcher, I think. iTunes is where you can find us the easiest if you just go there and search for us. But you can rate us wherever you podcast. And we will take your ratings and we will talk about them. But if you want to find us in other ways to support us, make sure to check us out. Obviously, the Ham Radio Crash Course YouTube channel, which is the primary source of my content. The Hoshnasi Patreon account. And we have opened up a merch store at hamtactical.com, where Leia is basically the driving force behind it. So you can literally contact Leia. Leia at hamtactical.com to give her ideas for new
it's
shirts.
It's true, yes.
And she will take your comments on the podcast. She will take your comments on the merch. What else, Leia? What else can people go to Leia at hamtactical.com to find out more?
They can let me know how much actual ham radios cost. Like if you see a ham radio on the stream and you want to tell me how much it actually costs, I'm trying to build up my purse fund.
Okay, so we have some comments to the podcast that show up on iTunes, and that's generally where we pull the reviews from. We got a 5-star review. The title is A Show.
Wow.
A Show.
That is a good description.
From TigerClaw989, it says, "As of the posting date, July 31st, 2020, if Leia does 5 questions a week until June 30th, 2022.
That's how long it's going to take.
She'll have seen 500 questions, and there are 426 questions, so it's possible she'd have seen every question. So most likely, she'll be ready by the time the question pool expires." Because the question pool expires, by the way.
Right. Didn't it already expire?
Yeah. So we're starting fresh. Like you have a full, got the full duration of time.
Because the first time I took the test was 2 years ago. maybe the
practice
three.
Test. Yeah.
The practice test on the, because we did a video of me failing a ham radio test.
Correct. Yes. There has not been a test you've taken where you passed, if you think about it that way.
See, this hurts.
I know. I'm trying.
Deep inside.
I know. As someone who grew up being very successful as their academic career is considered.
Yes.
When I give you things like ham radio, very esoteric, and there is a multiple choice question like test.
I'm
so you think you're just
voluntarily taking a class twice a week right now for an hour?
Chinese?
Yes.
Yeah.
If I had funneled that energy into a ham radio test.
Yeah, I mean, if you were to ask me what is more applicable in today's market, learning Mandarin Chinese or becoming a ham radio operator all day, right?
I'm Chinese.
Okay, great information from KE7YBD. He says, every time I listen to the podcast or catch the YouTube channel, I learned something new. Very entertaining and informative. Keep up the great work. That's from Steven. Thank you, Steven.
Thank you.
So, makes radio fun again from KG5ODJ. Josh and Leia's podcast and YouTube channel really reinvigorated my interest in ham. I was one of many who got my tech and never got farther than an occasional contact with my Baofeng. Now I'm trying to learn Morse code, CW, and I'm going to start studying for my general as soon as the book comes in the mail. Fun to listen to and filled with reliable information.
Wait a minute.
I thought this it was going to be relatable, but I'll take reliable.
You know what? Well, it has been 3 weeks in a row, so
it is reliable. Hey.
That is such a nice comment, but now in the back of my head, I have a paranoia that once I get my tech, I'm going to have to do 5 general test questions every week.
Oh, there's no ending in sight for you.
We're into 2024 now.
I'm really upset that you figured out the game this quickly. This is very disappointing for me. There was this plan. I have to throw it all out now. It's very depressing.
Okay. I'm glad you threw that.
Are you going straight into the test questions?
No, actually, I want to give a shout out to somebody who sent me such a nice message on Ham Tactical's Instagram.
Oh, okay. So Ham Tactical Instagram as well. So that's another way to hit Leia and tell her how much Josh has spent on the hobby.
Yes. So Elena actually sent me a message that was really nice thanking me for joining the podcast. But I really wanted to highlight her because her Instagram is amazing. She's out of Chicago and she is outdoorsy. She does ham stuff. She woodworks. She runs marathons.
What's her Instagram?
It is Elena underscore put, P-U-T-T. So it's E-L-E-N-A underscore P-U-T-T. So give her a follow because she is goals. She's fantastic.
Well, I'm following her back now.
There's an Instagram post of her seasoning a cast iron pan. I mean, she is doing all of the things that I really love.
Oh, she's like ripped too.
Yeah, she's amazing.
Awesome. That's super cool. She built like a wood wrist rest for her bespoke keyboard. That's like a cherry mechanical keyboard.
Yeah, she's building something out of wood for her ham shack too, or her mobile ham shack anyway.
Dude, her Instagram is really cool.
I know. That's why I wanted to give her a shout out.
Awesome.
She has all sorts of goals. So thank you for that message, Elena.
So I hope you have your license. If you don't yet...
She does.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations. That's excellent. Leia.
Me. Oh, we're going to do it.
Let's do the questions.
We're going to do the questions.
Let's do the questions.
Okay, I'm just going to...
2020, babe. That's it, man. 2020. And then you got this. You'll have a week to go take the test.
No, 2022.
Oh, 2022. Right. Two years.
This is 2020.
That's right. We'll talk about it a little bit later in the podcast.
I want to know how much the average person has had to study before they took their test.
Well, I'll tell you about me. I read all the way through the book. I bought the Gordon West book, mm-hmm. and I read it cover to cover. And I even listened. So back when I bought it in 2006, it came with a CD. And I listened to the CD. I listened to the Cusos. I listened to his track that he did on the Magic Band, which is 6 meters. 6 meters is the Magic Band.
Why is it called the Magic Band?
Because it doesn't work most of the time, and when it works, it's magic.
This is like the Harry Potter, the 9 3/4 platform.
You just basically bang your head into the wall until it stops banging, and you go through it, and you're like, a whole new world.
Yeah, and when it works, you get to like have Cusos with Hagrid.
Yeah. You're a ham now, Harry.
And Snape from Beyond the Grave.
You disappoint me.
Rest in peace, Alan Rickman.
So Alan Rickman is like the saltiest OMCW operator. You know, co-technician. You offend me with your presence.
Always.
Always. Yes.
Okay. That was nerdcore.
So I was drinking before we started this podcast. I'll just lay that out here. Yes. Because we did a net that we'll talk about later in this episode. But I'm feeling really good, but it's going to be a little saucy.
A little saucy. Are we already there? Are we already there? You've got a California pour that you're getting into. What is this? Your third glass?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. All right. I'm only halfway through my first, so maybe I'm just going to,
Are you going to go refill it right now and
it's
come
gonna
back?
It's going to be fantastic. It's really going to help me with the test.
Yes. Okay.
All right. I'm just going to go ahead and chug this Malbec.
I like this Scuba Steve audio thing you're doing right now.
That's really funny because Ben asked me today for a snorkel mask.
Why?
He wants to be able to breathe underwater, obviously.
Our little kiddie pool. We got to go to grandma's house for actual proper pool.
Why does the kid need a snorkel mask in a normal pool? Learn to hold your breath, child.
Oh, no. Okay, anyway, we're not going down this deep dive. I have definitely used a snorkel to great effect for lots of purposes.
Such as? And so forth.
For seeing what's under the water.
You can't just do that with goggles?
Oh, you got to hold your breath.
That's what I'm saying.
I've diagnosed pool problems just from putting a snorkel in my mouth and like just looking at the problem.
Well, aren't you just a pro?
Yeah, well, you know, do something long enough.
Okay. What is the name for a current that flows only in one direction? A, direct current, B, smooth current, C, normal current, D, alternating current, direct current.
Fantastic.
Fantastic. Thank you, Malbec.
What's the, is that the Matchbox 20 guy, smooth current?
Smooth operator?
No.
Smooth
current. Guy from Matchbox 20.
Oh, I was thinking about Santana.
Yeah, but that's smooth.
You identify with Matchbox 20 over Santana?
No, but what's his name? What is his name?
I don't know.
He's got like a bowl cut.
Which of the following frequencies has the lowest value for maximum permissible exposure limit?
Mm.
What?
Oh, get ready to get rocked in the pants for this one.
Okay, A is 1,296 megahertz. B is 3.5 megahertz. C is 440 megahertz. D is 50 megahertz. I'm going to go with 440. 50! I didn't even...
You just went for it.
I did, because these numbers are meaningless.
Wait, what was the right answer?
50.
Say the question again.
Which of the following frequencies has the lowest value for maximum permissible exposure limit? Do you understand the problem with this question?
Well, break it down. What do you think
it means? Lowest value for maximum permissible exposure limit.
I think it's trying to say.
In the hell?
Yeah.
Who is writing these questions?
No,
there's some dudes in a back room going, you know what?
Hey,
I hated
dude,
the SAT.
Check this out.
And I'm just going to write questions however I feel like. I don't care if they're comprehensible.
Check this out. I'm going to put a knot and the most and the least in the same question. Check it out. So what it's trying to say, so there is a, so every antenna that you put up, depending on the power that you put out, by the FCC guidelines, you're supposed to test that you're not radiating everybody that's within the space of the antenna. Certain frequencies.
So that's the maximum permissible exposure.
Exactly. So based off of your proximity to the antenna, and I should say not you as the operator, because the operator gets a pass, you can radiate the crap out of yourself, but just random bystanders,
yes,
you can't radiate them.
Okay.
And so there are certain frequencies that will hit harder. Uh-huh. It hits harder. Okay. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Meme style hits
yes.
harder than other
hits
frequencies.
Different.
Hits different. Yeah, it hits yeah. different. So that would be the one, because it's the lowest. It's the lowest one. So it gives you the it's giving you the most radiation for your buck, if you think about it. That's what it's trying to say.
I need a diagram or something. I still can't wrap my head around what this.
Mommy, my skin is hot. That's what it means.
Okay. What is a unit of frequency, a farad, a Henry, a Tesla, or a Hertz?
Mm.
A Hertz.
Yes. Congratulations. That was a good one. For you to get right.
What? that was a freebie. What is the...
Oh, wow. You're getting a little cocky now that we're doing these. All right.
It constantly references megahertz. Mm-hmm. Who is going to say mega Tesla? Other than maybe Elon Musk. You think he's a ham?
I don't think he is.
I don't think so either.
I should probably just tweet him and be like, bro, you a ham yet? Get that technician yet, bro?
And then he's like, I have many technicians that work for me.
I get that. I'd like to talk to them. The ones that are actually doing the work.
Yes. And not naming their children odd symbols.
I mean, I don't have a problem with naming kids odd symbols. I would do like, I would do it in CW. How much fun would it be if you named a kid after a CW
character?
It's a
good thing we're done having kids.
Dots and dashes, like they had to actually do like.
You just literally, you have a daughter and you just literally name her Dits and Daz.
Yeah. Because L is a first name, right? L. Well, it's a nickname, L.
Okay.
It's one of my favorite CW characters. Dida did it. Dida did it. L.
Thank God we're done having children.
We never had daughters. I never had this opportunity.
It's did you want a daughter?
No. Not at all. Not at ever one time.
I thought about it.
Well,
and decided.
I'm sorry.
And I decided.
Oh, you?
Yes.
You decided.
I made the decision.
I closed the scientific loophole. I decided no daughters. Yes, good. Oh, very good. Continue. I'm glad we're going down this depth of space.
What
with the podcast? I'm glad we're exploring the test questions in such a free range
yes.
way that we're doing right now. Very good.
What is the impact of using too much effective radiated power on a satellite uplink?
This is a good one. Read all the questions. This is very good.
A, possibility of commanding the satellite to an improper mode.
Well, you commanded it into deaccelerate into the earth mode. Everyone is very sad.
It seems like a lot of power for something that the FCC regulates so loosely.
Well, before you get too hyped up on that, keep going.
B, blocking access by other users. C, possibility of rebooting the satellite control computer. D, overloading the satellite battery.
What do you think?
Going to go with...
This is a little inside baseball. Talk through it.
I want to say that it's like either overloading the satellite battery or rebooting the satellite control computer, mm-hmm. but that just seems like way too much power for something that is orbiting the Earth.
Okay,
allowing people on Earth to F up.
So I'm going to hold up my hands to give Leia an idea of how big some of these satellites are. So the small ones are this big.
Well, how big is the James Webb telescope?
Oh, my God. We're not talking about the James Webb. Hamsats are like this big and maybe get about this big.
That's it?
Yes.
Oh, really?
Yes. They're super tiny.
Okay. Well, then I think it's either...
You need a little bit of context with that one. And so my hands were like the size of a microwave, basically.
No.
And smaller in some cases.
No, it was like the size of a beach ball you were holding up.
In square form, though. They're square. They're not round. They're square.
Well, then why did you hold out your hands in a circular shape instead of a flat? Look, when you curve your hand like this in a description, it implies ball, whereas if you hold it flat, it implies square.
Podcast is an audio medium.
Yes.
Yes. It's very good.
I'm describing how you were holding your hands. You had them curved to reference a
what
ball.
Are you going to answer this particular question?
Okay, fine. Overloading the satellite batteries.
No!
Blocking access by other users. Great.
You got to mute your ringtone there.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. That was so rude. I apologize to all of the listeners. Hey.
Wait, so let's go with that for a second. So your initial assumption was you would be shocked if you could reboot the satellite or fry the batteries.
Right.
As just a normal, like, user, right? So you were correct. You wouldn't have done that. It would
well,
bar
then
access
you,
to other
then
people.
You told me that it was so small, and then I was like, ah, oh, it'll burn up in the atmosphere.
Well, they will eventually, probably, maybe.
So then who cares? No, I'm just kidding.
There's no motors on them,
yeah,
so eventually
I was
they're going to get pulled into the atmosphere.
Until you went into that whole thing, I was going to pick the right answer.
Oh, were you? Okay, yeah. Well, we'll give it to you. So I did screw with you a little bit on that, I think.
You did?
Yeah, so now you know.
Because I basically said, I want to believe that it's these things, mm-hmm. except for the fact that that is way too much power for
right.
a bunch of random
no,
people.
No, you're right. I'm sorry. I was trying to add context to, like, general people listening.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
Sorry.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Diane. Thank you.
Okay, Diane.
So which license class are new licenses? Is that supposed to say new licensees?
Sure.
Oh, okay. Let me read it again. For which license classes are new licenses currently available from the FCC? So, it's novice. A is novice, technician, general, advanced. B is novice, technician, plus, general, advanced. C, technician, general, amateur, extra. D, technician, plus, general, advanced. Okay, I know the right answers to this, obviously. Yeah.
What is it?
It's technician, general, amateur, extra.
Correct.
But I do want to say that.
Those were all things at one point.
Why is there not a plus for somebody who knows CW?
Great question.
You know, there's all these salty people that are like, you shouldn't be able to get your ham radio license without knowing CW. Well, why don't you be a technician plus if you know CW?
I don't disagree with the salt of, like, the OMs who were like, I had to learn CW and you don't. I don't disagree with them. I don't think that they are their angst about that whole thing is
I'm just going to make the shirts. If you're a tech and you know CW, if you're a general and you know CW, I'll make you a general plus shirt. An extra who knows CW gets an extra plus shirt. It'll just be like the normal bad shirt. I'm going to add a little plus.
So how do you qualify that, though? Do they have to send you, like, their Morse code practice so that you know?
Oh, I don't run this like the HRCC Facebook group where somebody's going to check call signs to make sure they're valid.
Wow. So anybody could get a plus is basically what you're saying.
Well, you know, I feel that hams operate on a very high level of an honor code.
Okay. All right.
Right. This is the...
You're putting out levels of trust that are unknown at this point.
Or maybe it's aspirational.
Oh.
Right? I cannot wear this shirt. I will buy it with a promise to myself
I
will learn CW and I will not put it on until I know it. Is there a CW test?
Until I know how to say cat.
Is there a test you have to take
There's levels of competency type things you can do for like copying CW. But honestly, if you can do like a Summits on the Air or Parks on the Air activation with doing CW, that's pretty good in my book.
That's the bar,
I would think.
Could you do it?
No. I mean, maybe a...
So I'm going to get you an extra plush shirt and then just hang it up.
Wow. Wow. Okay. All right.
Okay. Should I do one more question?
Yeah. Just okay.
Rapidly accelerate my Excelsior. Studies with one more question. I'm going to regret it. The next question is just going to be so hard.
Yeah. Well, what is it? What is it? Now I'm really excited.
Okay. What formula is used to calculate...
I heard formula. It's like, oh, it's on.
In a circuit.
Say it again.
What formula is used to calculate current in a circuit?
Mm-hmm.
A, current I equals voltage E added to resistance R.
Mm-hmm.
B, current I equals voltage E multiplied by resistance R. C, current equals voltage divided by resistance. D, current equals voltage minus resistance.
There's an Ohm's triangle thing you could probably Google if you wanted to. And depending on how, like, so it's a triangle that basically tells you the thing you're looking for, you cover it up with your finger, and that tells you what you're supposed to divide or multiply to give you the answer you're looking for. So it's in the study material for this? You're just going to wing it, though?
Current equals voltage divided by resistance. Ha!
Got it.
All
right, very good.
Math things.
So walk through what gave you that. Was it just the words? Current meaning
resistance is what throttles back.
That's true.
The current, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So that's all I needed to know to suss this
out. So you said like voltage must be like the peak, and then the resistance is what's slowing it down.
Well, the voltage is the raw. Current.
Raw.
And the resistor is what
throttles it. Yeah.
So it's divided.
Sure.
And then...
Look at you.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
Nailing things.
Okay. All right.
Should I do one more? How are we on time?
I mean, everything's all screwed up. We had a little bit of a podcast kerfuffle. We have recovered, I think.
Have we? You let us know. Did we recover?
We'll see how we edit this all together. Oh, my God. I would say we're good.
Great.
Okay.
Best news all day.
So you did six. And so you're today, overachieving.
Yeah, I am.
You're killing it.
I literally said stopping this practice test was the best part of my day when you brought me flowers and you gave me the most pleasant experience with an Apple product. To set up an iPad, you just hold up your phone to the thing.
Yeah. Well, if you have an Apple phone, yeah.
Yeah. And then,
by the way, she is Leia has been a adamant Android user for
I over have a decade. Deep love yeah. of Google products.
Yeah.
I was one of the I bought one of the first Android phones,
the G1,
right?
Which I did too.
I actually, my phone has been up for replacement for I don't even know how long. And I looked at getting the new Pixel.
Yeah, you should. I don't have any problem with.
But now I'm tied into
the ecosystem. Oh, because I gave you the iPad. Yeah. Now you're in the eco. Mm-hmm. Oh, interesting. That's kind of how they get you, right?
If you They got me.
If you think about it, it's like, oh, well, I bought this iPad. And if I don't stick with iPad, then all those apps I bought won't be useful anymore.
Right. And I bought a lot of apps.
Did you really? Yes. Did you buy a lot of apps?
I did.
Wow. I didn't expect that from you, to be honest.
Well,
I had
to get that one that identifies plants.
Well, sure. That's everyone has that.
That was necessary. And then I also have bought apps for the kids that I have on my phone.
Mm-hmm. So when you're out in the wilderness, you have no cell phone signal, and you pull up that app, you're like... trying to scan this plan. Like, well, we're all dead, kids.
Let's eat it.
Let's eat it. The app says, let's eat it. There's no internet signal. It defaults to let's eat it. It's doing...
And that's a pangolin.
It's not even a vegetable. That is an actual animal. That shouldn't even be in North America. How did this pangolin get out here so far?
I wish there was something that did it for mushrooms, though.
Oh, my God.
That you could you really imagine trust.
Could you imagine the like risk that company would put out to make an amp like that? Could you, imagine?
Do you remember you bought me a mushroom book?
The craziest book I've ever seen in my life.
It is brilliant. It's about mushrooms in Southern California because I was really into the concept of foraging for a long time. Yeah. Which I never ended up going out to do.
You go but outside thought, less than I do.
I just planted an entire vertical garden today.
Literally edibles, on the side please. Of our house. It's not please. Even. Okay. Please. I meant
Thank
like
you.
In the wilderness.
Thank you. I in the wilderness. I went on a hike today. You roll yourself right back.
You were
And I
in,
saw the most gorgeous of pheasants in an aviary.
You were in the city of industry.
No, the city of Santa Fe Springs.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. But also, there was a Tonga hut and sweat lodge and dance arena. Okay?
Do it you think that real, was like...
It was accurate. traditional.
Okay.
Yes.
Good. Yes.
To okay. honor the Tonga people.
That were... Did they come to the United... Like, to California?
That's a Native American tribe. That was almost eradicated from Southern California.
I thought the Tongans were pretty much like mostly island
Tongva.
People. Tongva. Oh, say it again?
Tongva.
Oh, okay. Different. Okay. Okay.
I think I mispronounced it the first time. That's not your fault.
Okay.
Thank I you. Will give that to you.
Tonga is like a yes. Pacific Islander yes. people. Yeah. Okay, good. Okay. Wow, this is really fantastic what
yeah,
we're doing.
Yeah, this is good. So I am going to make you take back what you said about me not being outside. And get back to the foraging talk. So the thing
Hot
about
foraging talk.
This book was that
there's it a guy would playing a trombone on the cover.
That's true.
Yes.
Totally unrelated to mushrooms.
No, most
but
of it
is
isn't.
Only about Southern California.
That guy
California
is on mushrooms that, took, that made that picture.
Yeah. Why did you buy it for me?
Because it was literally so the highest rated mushroom book for Southern California.
It was fascinating. And it took you down this, is this the shape of this mushroom? And then it would narrow down to like two
if you
to
looked at
three
this mushroom,
mushrooms.
And you think about it. Do you think it wants you to die?
Get in the soul of this mushroom.
If yes, don't eat it.
This is the really problematic part.
Yeah, it's
when
super touchy
feely. When you get to the end... Of yeah. this flow chart.
Right.
It narrows it down to two or three mushrooms it could be, one being fully edible, the other ones being totally deadly.
Last step. Do you have a coin? Take coin out of pocket. Flip
More like,
it.
Last step. Do you have a will?
Yeah. How hungry are you really? Is the last step.
Maybe you should just drive yourself to a McDonald's.
They have a mushroom burger.
No, they don't.
I am the most cautious, like, for people that are really gung-ho about mushrooms in the wilderness. Like, I've not really dealt with that many people that are like that, but, like, hiking, you'll experience some people that, like, mushroom. And you're like, and? What what else needs to be said?
That's like the meat of the forest.
It's like crazy meat. It's the mystery meat of the forest. You could literally kill you at any moment.
It's not jumping out at you. It does.
Oh no, I get what mushrooms doing. It's not mouth. Making you eat it. Like mushrooms, not like, hey man, hey. It's not got legs. It's not coming at your
mushrooms
mouth.
Mushrooms don't kill people.
People
ill-informed people kill themselves
by eating mushrooms. Yes. Yeah, I get it. I understand. I'm not. Again, I don't think this is the mushroom's fault,
or the guy with the trombone's fault. Really,
that guy was on the mushrooms. I'm still sticking with that.
I wish I could find that book. I think Ben found it once and he was like, what is this?
We're going to go find mushrooms. He was the most excited about it ever, probably. Ben is very excited when it's outdoorsy stuff.
Ben was so impressive today. He built a light switch circuit in Minecraft. And we both
using
went,
redstone.
How
did
you
did it?
Do that? But how did you, six-year-old, learn to
impressive.
Build this?
It's very impressive. What he did
closing some
was
circuits.
He took the entire floor, covered it with redstone, and then basically anything he put on that redstone and then attached a switch to it would do something.
Right.
It's not like a proper like circuit. Like if I showed him what a proper circuit was, it probably wouldn't make sense to him from what he
sure.
has dealt with redstone.
Gotcha.
It's probably screwed the whole thing up a little bit, actually. But
so you're saying it wasn't real?
No, that's not a DC circuit. No
circuits.
No.
Well, now I'm totally less impressed.
Well, because you'd have to have a positive and negative return line. There's none of that. Redstone is just like, it's both of it at one time.
Hmm.
At the same time, it's very impressive. I was still impressed.
I take it all back.
He's not going to be an engineer with that redstone capability. Let me just say it.
You don't know
old.
What he's going to be able to develop. He wants to be a scientist, also a paleontologist.
Oh, a scientific paleontologist.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure this is what caused Jurassic Park. B.D. Wong's running around, making dinosaurs.
He is focused on the concept of creating an ankylosaurus. He said he's either going to find or figure out how to bring back the ankylosaurus.
Is B.D. Wong, he's 100% Asian, right?
I'm guessing.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I'm just checking.
B.D. Wong really is partially responsible for our, for
I mean,
our
he's,
life
he's,
now.
He, at least in our meeting, he was
yes.
a major component of,
yes.
of you and I meeting.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah. Okay.
So thanks, B.D. Wong.
Wherever
that
you,
and iced tea.
Wherever you are.
That and iced tea.
That and iced tea.
Yes.
That is a whole other discussion. Yes. And that was literally because of...
I think we've talked about it on the podcast.
We did,
before.
Right?
Yeah.
Well,
you guys know. Congratulations.
You know.
Yeah.
For you that have been listening...
Again.
for back in the day...
But literally iced tea.
Literally
in
iced
person.
Tea. Like you were going to go hang out with iced tea.
No, I hung out with his wife.
Coco.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Great Disney movie.
No. Oh, we did watch Coco this week.
It was so good.
You cried.
I did.
I cried.
We all cried.
No. Edison did not cry. He was.
I don't even know how you make Edison cry.
Oh, I know how to make Edison cry.
Oh, yeah. If there's no... Yes.
Yes. There's plenty of ways to make Edison cry. But I think midway through Coco, he goes, I want to watch Puppy Dog Pals. The cinematic masterpiece of Coco.
Yeah.
Puppy Dog Pals.
Coco's a really good movie.
It is.
Really good. And I don't... It's not like as touted as other Disney movies.
Oh, please.
No? Yes? Are you disagreeing with me?
So beloved. Coco.
Is it?
Coco was...
It's not like a Frozen. People don't put it up as like Frozen.
Absolutely.
Level. Do they? Because they should.
It was around the period of Frozen and probably the next closest thing to Frozen in that time period.
Well, I'm not disagreeing.
There were Coco birthday parties.
I'm down. I think it's amazing. I think it's
don't
really
you
good.
Remember to that birthday party we went to that had the entire...
where we killed all the people and they went to the aisle?
No.
The world of the dead?
No.
Yeah, that was really weird.
It actually had Coco character cutouts and there was a taco truck and a...
Half of the birthdays
Latino,
we go to have a taco truck,
but,
Leah.
But it had the agua frescas. It an entire
Half
agua,
of the birthdays we go to have agua
and
fresca.
And then it had like a Mexican candy table.
Again... Half of the birthdays we go
to
have all
these
things.
Parties than I am. I have never seen before a table of Mexican pastries.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, no, I give you the Mexican pastries one.
Okay.
That's...
And the agua frescas, like
no,
multiple
thing.
Things of agua frescas.
Okay. All right. Well, that's a good transition point. I think we'll take it. So today I did a net. Leah, what is a net? A ham radio net.
Net.
Nyet. It means a no. No. So a net, and it's most common when you're doing like VHF, UHF.
I thought a net is like a party line.
Kind of, yeah. So when we have a repeater, right? A repeater, yes. You can transmit into the repeater, and at the same time, the repeater is transmitting out and right. giving you this really wide space of people that can hear you. So my little radio doesn't...
I heard that Baofengs need those.
Yeah. So when my little radio and I transmit, I can hit the repeater. The repeater takes my signal, amplifies it, and it's also really high up. And then it transmits and it covers this entirely huge space.
Gotcha.
So I was transmitting into Keller Peak.
Where is Keller Peak?
North of us in the San Gabriel Mountain Range.
Well,
north of LA.
Ham radio is such an interesting way to travel the world.
I mean, we just traveled to the other side of LA right now. That's
right. But I'm saying when somebody makes contact over one piece of equipment, mm-hmm. makes contact with Japan.
Yeah.
That's really incredible, I think.
You want to do this? Like, is this a thing?
I mean, you have to get licensed, so.
Yeah, I mean, you do. That's true.
Or you could just sit next to me and I'll use your calls.
I can do that, yeah. Yes, I mean, we can do that. But at a certain point, the idea is that you're going to get bored with that. It's like, I need Josh here all the time, then I'm going to talk to Japan. I got hot anime questions that I got to get direct from the source.
I'm trying to find that inventor guy, you know, that crazy inventor who only eats one meal a day.
And it's like curry. It's like rice curry.
It's always the same meal.
But it's his meal.
And he has a street named after himself. And he invented a thousand things.
I think he died.
But he was a ham radio operator, though.
Oh, I bet. Yeah, I bet.
That adds up.
That's a certain level of esoteric that ham radio is like dived into hardcore.
If you guys don't know who we're talking about.
Yeah, I don't even remember his name.
Is he the inventor of Lipovitan? Or some other hangover drink, too?
Yeah, he had a hangover drink and the one meal thing.
But he invented so many things. That's
Yoshiro Nakamatsu.
There you go. There is a...
He has 3,377 patents.
Oh, excuse me.
Dr. Nakamatsu.
Ah, Dr. Nakamatsu.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yes.
Everybody
yes,
go.
Yes, I'm holding Leia the picture. Remember the picture?
Dr. Nakamatsu. Okay, yeah. So everybody should go watch that very interesting documentary.
It's very interesting.
That is right up your nerdy alley, I think.
So I'm talking about nets.
Okay.
So you have, you know, your VHF handy talkie or yes. mobile radio. I was using my mobile radio in my home, 50 watts output into the 17-foot antenna on the side of my house. And we did a net, but this net's a bit different. It's actually really cool. So every Thursday, this repeater, which, let me be very specific, the repeater is RF-based, 100% RF. So you transmit into it, and it takes the frequencies and broadcasts it on a different frequency, amplifies the power, and puts it out at, you know, from the high point down. So that's the first point. So you get a really big footprint just from that. But what it does...
What's the alternative? You're saying that it takes the RF.
Well, I could put a repeater in my garage and could run a repeater, but it would be at ground level.
Oh, so you want the repeater to be very high up.
Yeah, and then it's also amplifying to like 100 watts or 50 watts or something like that.
So it's taking whatever your low power is mm-hmm. and making it high power.
Right, so I have a handy talkie, it's 5 watts, I talk into the repeater. The repeater's taking my 5 watt input out, power
okay.
and converting it to like 50 watts or 100 watts.
So not only is it high up, yes. it is more powerful.
Exactly.
And how far do most repeaters range?
Oh, that's very interesting. So 60 miles, okay. It's highly subjective based off of how high up the repeater is. in Southern California, we kill it. We have repeaters that, like, I can walk outside, I can see the mountain, the antenna's there, and I can hit it.
So they're not doing so great like in Ohio.
No. It's 60 miles away as the crow flies, but I can see the mountain and I can hit that repeater.
So 60 miles?
Straight. Like from my antenna to the antenna on the repeater, and I can hit it.
And normally a handy talkie can do 2 miles.
Yes. But because I'm literally pointing my RF directly at that repeater on the top of the mountain, I can hit it.
And it has better range on it given different environmental factors?
Well, you'd have to give it some really bad like weather to knock it down. It's largely not affected by weather.
Interesting.
But good question. So and again, that's how it works, right? So Southern California, this basin that we kind of live in, because we're surrounded by either water, the ocean, or mountains in Southern California, in where we live in the South Bay area. So the Keller Peak repeater, by the way, anybody who's ever asked me, hey, Josh, how do I ever, like, if I wanted to hear what the local Southern California nets are like or anything like that, this is the repeater to look up, and I'll post the link in the description of this podcast. The Keller Peak repeater is not just an RF-only repeater. It also supports what's called Echolink, which is a digital mode that you can use over your phone. So I have the Echolink app on my phone. I can talk on repeaters through my phone with this. And it also does All-Star, which is IRLP, is the mechanism for transmitting that data. And so that repeater, not only can you transmit into it, but at some point it connects to the internet and then sends that out to any other connected repeater nodes. So other repeaters connect to this repeater, and then those repeaters, everybody listening to those repeaters will hear what's happening on the Keller Peak repeater at any one time.
So how far would that range do? It would be around the world? As far as the internet is,
it's relative, yeah. It could be Japan, it could be the other side of the country, it could be Europe, it doesn't matter.
Wow.
So today we did a net on Summits on the Air, and I was hosted basically by W6RIP, Kevin, who came out for...
W6RIP?
Yeah.
He needs to hang out with K-Murder.
Yes! Right?
Yes.
K-Murds. So Kevin is, you know, Jerry, KG6HQD.
The hikey guy.
The hikey guy. Yes. So Kevin is also a hikey guy, but Kevin took it kind of a step further and became a certified, trained search and rescue volunteer.
Wow.
So Kevin's legit. So Kevin's the guy that, like, when we got up to Mount Pacifico, at like 10 p.m., some random dude, like, rolls up into the campsite and is like, hey, is Josh out here? And it was Kevin. Like, showed up super late.
That's hilarious.
And so Kevin also was the same guy in the morning, because he didn't act, it was super late. He got up early in the morning and he put up his antenna, and he was so antennas, remember we talked about a dipole, right? Mm-hmm. The two wires in the air. One side's the positive end of the coax and the other side's the ground end of the coax. So his antenna was a vertical version of that. So the positive end goes straight up, and then the negative end of, you know, if you're thinking about it simplistically, goes along the ground. He used little pine, he put up little pine cones. He put a little trail of pine cones to hold the wire up. And that guy, like, he was done in like 5 minutes. He activated in like 5 minutes, was done. He was like, well, I spent more time setting up the pine cones, I think, than anything else, which was pretty funny. So the net, which was very cool. So he spent 30 minutes talking about kind of the rules of SOTA. Actually, he took a little bit longer than that, but spent some time talking about the rules of Summits on the Air. And there are a lot of rules. There's a PDF file that you can go to. But the basic concept is that Summits on the Air is based off of, in the United States at least, all of the acknowledged summits have like a metal button on top of the peak, if you will.
That they do? Like a physical metal button?
Physical metal button. Somebody like comes in there and hammers it in place.
Like somebody official or some random person?
No, just... Well, I mean, maybe they hire random people to go hammer them in. But no, it's an official like button Like it's 3 inches. It's actually probably 4 or 5 inches. It gives you the altitude at that exact location, what the marker is for that summit. So it has like a numbering system for the unique identifier for that summit, whatnot. So all those markers, all those summits are in a database. And Summits on the Air uses those markers to quantify the summits that are acceptable for Summits on the Air.
Really?
So you must go to a summit that is a qualified button-having summit.
And where do they hammer these buttons in?
It's usually at the highest point or somewhere around the highest point.
I've hiked to the peak of Mount Lee.
I don't even know where Mount Lee is.
It's where the Hollywood sign is.
That probably is.
Didn't see a button?
Then I guess it's not.
Well, great.
But the point, though, is that those are the accepted summits.
I guess I'm still stuck on the fact, how do you find a 4-inch button?
What?
How do you find a 4-inch button at the top of a peak?
Hey, it's not Where's Waldo. They don't hide it from you.
I mean, is there something denoting it's... It's in the ground?
No, there's a neon light. It's solar powered. it points directly. It's got an arrow. And then you can find it. It's really easy. It's really funny. When you get up there, it's really awesome. It's like, it's basically a casino. There's like a slot machine.
I'm saying I have hiked mountains. Mm-hmm. I want to know how I would find said button once I got to the top.
They are like, I have never not had a problem finding a button for a proper summit. So if you went on an expedition to find a button on a summit, I'm gonna say probably not a summit.
And what is the agency that qualifies the summit? Wow,
there are so
buttons?
Many questions right now. I don't know the is it the GICD or something like that.
I just feel bad for the smaller mountains. That
oh my God. I didn't expect feels from how like something is.
This Malbec hits different.
Yeah. I'm like literally trying to do.
I want to know, actually.
Yeah, you have your iPad.
For
you
those,
can look it up.
For
Go
those
ahead.
Listening, have you ever been to a summit and not been able to find the button?
Contact Leia at amtactical.com. Yeah, I was on a parking structure. It was the highest thing in the city, and there was no button.
I'm just surprised to hear that Mount Lee is not, you know.
Was it Kenley?
What is Ken Lee?
A liberty without you.
It's terrible.
Yeah, it was an easy grab.
I don't know
grab.
Why you did that. I don't.
It was an easy grab. So Kevin and I did a net, right? It was a really cool net. So most nets are generally like people check in. They're like, hey, it's my call sign. The net operator comes back to them and says, okay, call sign, what are you doing today? Do you have any traffic to give? You know, whatever. So,
what do you mean traffic to give?
No, well, great question. So if I was the net operator or someone else is the net operator and they say, we're taking any traffic, and I say, KI6NAZ, net operator comes back to me and says,
what's it like on the 605?
Yeah, KI6NAZ, okay, you're checked in. Do you have any comments or traffic that you want to pass? You could say, yep. There was a fire on the 91 freeway.
Oh, literal traffic.
Yeah. Well, not like car traffic, but it could be any traffic, any audio traffic. Like I'm in
Big
Bear
and there's
a fire.
But not Wayfair cabinets, am I right?
Wow. We're not doing conspiracy theories. Look up the buttons. Go ahead. Look up the buttons.
Okay. All right.
So it could be any, it could be emergency traffic. It could be where there's a fire going on at that particular moment. It could be anything. So that's what traffic means at that time, not like literally four-wheel vehicle traffic. So this net's a bit different. It is, they take all the check-ins and they take all the comments from people like for, you know, just saying, hey, I'm here for the talk or whatever. But this net specifically is for kind of experts or people that are knowledgeable about this in a certain area to talk about what they know. And so Kevin is kind of like one of the de facto knowledge points for
Summits, like what they know about anything.
Yeah. So next week is on hand loading ammunition. The expert that's going to be talking is somebody who knows about reloading ammunition.
Is there a curation process, or could I call in and talk about baby wraps or something?
That particular community may not want to hear about that. That's, but again, this is Thursday we're talking about.
Okay, okay.
Wednesday might be open for baby wrap enthusiasts.
Okay, great.
You know, I mean, you just have to reach out to the repeater owner, I guess.
So there is curation, though.
Yeah, no, we're not just showing up and loitering on a repeater. Yeah, 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 yeah. Hey, guys, we're here for the baby wrap net. Do you have traffic? Yeah, I'm selling all my wraps. All of them. I'm going to be at the top of the parking structure.
I'll be by the button.
Outside of the Disneyland, there's a button. So if you want to do a soda activation,
the highest point in Anaheim.
By the Hyatt. So, you know, you get the idea.
All right, I'm with it. So is that trivia show that I like, Annette? Is it a trivia net?
Yes, it's a trivia net. Yeah, okay. Yeah, exactly. And that's on the WIN system. So what is WIN system? I don't know what the acronym is. Did you find out where the button is? Did you find it?
No, when you look up soda buttons, it brings up...
No, literally, you can't say button. You have to say, like, summit, mountain buttons. Like
summit button. I don't know.
It's not... Soda is just co-opting the information that already exists.
Yeah, no, when you put in summit buttons, it brings up a button and tools for fiber artists. I don't...
Oh, my God.
CODOT? CODOT.gov? Oh, that says something about registering.
Okay, search marker.
Okay, summit marker.
Summit markers.
Okay. Summit markers, high mountains.
There you go.
All right. Oxygen is overrated. That's hilarious. Oh, you can actually buy a mm-hmm. copy of.
Yeah, if you do something like Whitney. Whitney's a really impressive hike if you do that.
Mount Whitney?
Mount Whitney, yeah.
I thought you were talking about my high school.
Yeah, no, gymnasium for Whitney High School down the street. Yeah, there's a button up there. Go ahead.
That's the number one high school in America. Okay.
I think it fluctuates. Did you figure it out? Are we good?
Where's your high school on the rankings?
I never entered this race.
I found the markers.
Well, go ahead. Go ahead. Talk about it.
What do you? It's a metal circle.
Yeah, this is fantastic.
That says U.S. Coast Geodetic Survey with a longitude.
Well, you wanted to know who provided them or who authorized them. I'm just curious if you found that.
Yeah, U.S. Coast and Geodetic Survey.
Wow.
Yeah. So USCGS. There you go.
Have your questions been answered?
I can understand why Mount Lee is not on this. These summits are very high.
I drove here.
Yeah, I don't think Mount Lee is like tall enough to.
That's not true. Literally, I've done a soda activation that the summit is 1,000 feet above sea level. So it's probable that the quote-unquote Mount Lee area where you were at, where the Hollywood sign is not the actual summit.
I climbed past the Hollywood sign. I made it to the top.
Okay, well, then you should look it up. You should look up Mount Lee summit marker.
Oh, there is a marker at the peak. I just missed it.
Okay. So,
okay,
yeah.
Well, I'm just going to buy it because I did it. You know
what? Why? What? Maybe go back and do a soda activation before you buy it.
No, like this doesn't even have anything to do with ham radio. You just,
no, I know, but maybe you earn it a little bit deeper. It. Maybe you just like could earn it.
But I've already accomplished this?
Yeah, but like you could accomplish it better. No?
Then I'll get like a button plus next time, okay?
I'll literally hammer a plus into it. And then I'll come back, and when I do it with CW, it'll be a plus plus.
That's my favorite grade, A plus plus. It's like A plus is like, you got it.
This isn't
like,
even this is possible.
So impressive.
It's not even. Your dad is marginally happy about your performance with an A plus plus. He was nonplussed with an A plus. With an A plus plus, he's just dad.
Yeah. He is now fine clothing and feeding you.
So that's Asian life, basically. Yeah. That's what we covered in the podcast today. Yes. Thank you very much, Leia. I appreciate that. Yes, very good.
Just Asian things.
My dad was just happy, like, showing me electronic stuff. Like, you know, hey, dad, hey, son, here's how resistance works.
If your parents showed you how to do something,
yeah.
you needed to
get a job.
You needed to master it that first time. And if it was not mastered.
Dad, this is a third grade science project.
Yes, you're in kindergarten. You should be at that level already.
That's a level of intensity that must stifle children.
I mean, I turned out fine.
I don't know, totally man. You couldn't even find a summit marker on a...
You told me it was a soda button. How am I supposed to go from there? See, you're just like my dad.
I was looking for a Paddington. Like I was looking for a Paddington jacket on this summit to find a button.
Do you see? You give me like a little nugget of the wrong terminology, but you expect me to master.
Being I said able to it's find like a it. 4-inch thing. It's a button. It's a 4-inch thing.
A soda button.
Yeah, 4 inches in diameter.
When I looked up soda button, it came up with something totally different.
4 inches. Yeah, diameter. 4 inches in diameter. Button. Like, a marker, yeah. Okay, how is that any different? What does that mean to you?
Well, a button, you either push or it fastens things. Or it's fastened to clothing.
It's fastened to the mountain. That's kind of a dad line, I think. Yeah, that was a little bit. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, it was amazing, the net that we did. It was a lot of fun. I think soda is kind of a, it's kind of on the edge of ham radio. It's kind of like the extreme sports of ham radio.
You think so?
Yeah. Now, there are more extreme versions of ham radio things.
Tell me more about.
Parachute mobile ham radio.
What?
Yeah.
Like from the plane or while you're going
high? So immediately after you get out of the airplane, you pull the chute. No free fall. And you just work ham radio all the way down.
That is extreme.
Yeah, that's extreme. That is extreme. So you literally are riding the whole way down.
How long would it take to do 10,000 feet with a chute?
I don't know. 20 minutes?
No way.
Yeah.
I've jumped out of a plane before.
Yeah, but you free-falled most of the way.
What if you drop it? You could kill someone. Like,
I'm taking contact for 5 seconds.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, no. So that's a thing. And they do ham radio contacts on both VHF. So part of the problem with airplane mobile like that, when you jump out of a plane... You can do VHF really easily because it's local. You just have the handy talkie, and you're like the repeater. You're way high up in the air, right? But that's only getting you line of sight coverage.
Interesting.
But there are people who will literally strap an HF radio on their body, and they will drag an HF antenna behind them,
what?
Hanging off of their feet. and do HF radio from a parachute.
Are there YouTube videos?
Yes. Yeah. So they'll do a cross-country comms, contacts, parachute mobile. They have...
Okay. How many people are doing this? Like five?
It is one group, and they are the most organized people I've ever seen in my life. They have a ground crew. I think they actually... The systems... They're
got
doing
a trampoline
it.
For the guy to land on.
No. It's way nerdier than that. They are like super into it. They're having the best time of their lives. The parachuters are literally transmitting telemetry data from them to the ground crew.
Okay.
For exactly like what their positioning is at any one time.
Wow.
They are insane. So they've got VHF, UHF. They're rocking HF when they're up high like that. So they can get really far contacts. And, like, yeah, people are literally coming in from all over the country to make contacts with them.
Oh, so they announce when their jumps are.
Oh, yeah,
so people
it's
try
highly
that.
Coordinated.
Okay.
There's probably, like, 20
just
people.
Randomly jumping out of a plane. Let me see what I can get.
They're like, all right, I'm on Twitter. Let's go. Let's do it. Let's do it, guys. There's, like, 20 people involved in the whole thing.
Wow.
And I believe they have, like, two jumpers at any one time.
Are there competitions?
No, this is, they are the only, they are the, they're the best. They're the only ones doing this. They're the best.
It's easy to be the best when you're the only one.
No, but it's like they took it very high level. It's really hard to like get competition when you're already batting
HRCC parachutes on the air. Go.
I brought a towel. It's a big towel. My wife says it's really sturdy.
It's a Turkish towel.
It's a Turkish towel.
Yeah.
It's both
hand
sturdy
knotted.
And very absorbent.
So aesthetic.
So with that said, Summit's on the air. Kind of a extreme-ish ham radio thing?
I don't know. I don't feel like it's that fringe. I think a lot of people do soda.
You think a lot of... Okay. You're not wrong in the sense that people climb to the top of mountains. But don't you think that the people that climb to the top of mountains is kind of a smaller set of people? Just straight up.
Well, sure. I mean, it's harder to do. But I don't think it's a fringe part of the hobby.
Well, it's not fringe in the sense that the people that go to the top of the mountains, they still have to be supported by the people on the ground. So they're all brought in, too. They all get points for the people that go to the mountain.
Wait, when you do a soda activation, you have to coordinate with other people? You can't just climb to
a
summit.
Well, you
got to
make four
marker?
Contacts. You have to make at least four contacts when you get to a soda summit. When you get to the summit, you have to make four contacts. And everybody that makes a contact with you gets points equal to the summit that you climbed up to.
No way.
Yes. So
how are you getting equal points? You didn't even climb the summit.
Well, because it's a different award structure. It's a completely different award structure. So if... Okay, so here we go. This gets a little wild, okay? Okay, this gets a little crazy. Okay, ready? Hear me out.
Idea that you could stay inside your ham shack and get the same amount of points as somebody who climbed thousands of feet.
Well, you haven't heard what the awards are yet.
Soda goat.
Soda goat is for the people that climb the mountains.
Yes.
What is the people that live... That do it from the shack?
Shack grass. I don't know.
Shack sloth. I don't think that's a detriment, but it is very different. Those are two very different animals that do different things.
I think sloths are adorable.
They are. They are.
Did you not see Kristen Bell lose her mind over a sloth?
No, I don't like Kristen Bell.
I know. She's anti-gun. I get it.
I'm not a fan.
I think she's delightful. Anyway.
Yes.
So, I still don't understand how it's the same amount of points, but.
Mm-hmm. Well, because there's dudes that like to hike. I like to hike.
It's hard to get out there, though.
It's hard to get out there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of guys who do it, like, they take it very hard, right? There are guys who will activate multiple summits in one day.
Wow.
Like, they'll plan their whole day around activating adjacent summits that are all, you know, a couple miles
apart. How many soda goats would be awarded a year?
I don't know. That's a great question. Not a lot. It can't be a lot.
What does it take to be a soda goat?
1,000 points.
What's each peak worth?
Every 1,000 feet of elevation is 1 point.
No.
Yeah. I was waiting for this.
You've got to be out there every weekend, if not more than that.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, wait. Wow. It gets better. It gets better. It gets better. It doesn't go above 10,000 feet. 10 points is the max.
What?
Mount Everest is 10 points. Pike's Peak, 10 points. Pike's Peak is like 11,000 something feet above sea level.
My mind is blown right now.
Yeah, they don't fool around. So does not.
Where's the summit marker for Big Bear?
The city? What do you mean?
Well, Big Bear Mountain.
Bear Mountain?
Bear Mountain.
I don't know. I haven't climbed that. But I did Bertha. Bertha Peak is outside of Big Bear Lake. Remember we went up there and I ran away for a morning and got up to Bertha Peak?
Okay. And how many points was that?
8.
Wow.
Because
Big Bear is already really high up there.
Big Bear is way high up there. So
it's not like you...
Big Bear is at like 6,500 feet above sea level.
Wow.
Bertha Peak is 8,200 feet above sea level. So I had to hike up that difference.
Wow.
Yeah. It's no joke. It's not a joke.
Okay. 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 Yeah. Right. A lot of respect to soda goats and shack sloths.
Well, yeah, because I mean, the shack sloths, because the thing to remember, I think the biggest thing that everybody listening that are interested in getting involved in soda, and if you don't have summits in your area, you know, chase, and they call it chasing, chase the soda activators, because here's what soda activators need. They need somebody to post a spot for them. There has been
what does that mean?
Well, here, I'm going to explain it. So usually a day or two before I go out to do a soda activation, I will post an alert that says, I'm going to be on this mountain about this time, and I'm going to be on this frequency. What ends up happening is I'm either early to get to the summit or I'm late to get to the summit. And then when I get on the summit and I get my antenna in the air, the frequency that I want to operate on is already in use. So I'm, and that's what, so here's the thing. When you get to the summit, so we're down here in the basin. Mm-hmm. We're down here in the basin. There's all kinds of noise. It's really dirty. You know, I make HF contacts, but I make HF contacts because I got a big ass antenna on the roof.
Okay.
When I get to 8,200 feet above sea level, there is no electronics. There is no noise.
Okay.
It is silent.
Okay.
You can hear every signal that your antenna can pick up.
So I guess I'm kind of confused because if you go somewhere that's no noise, shouldn't it be very easy to make contacts? Why is there a concerted effort to line up your contacts?
Very, very good question. So when I get to the summit, there is no noise. There's no electronic interference. I can hear everyone across the country.
Okay.
When I'm at home, I don't hear necessarily what's going on the other side of the country.
Right.
But when I'm on the summit, all the frequency space for that band is already full of everybody in the country.
Okay.
There's no space to line up on.
So you can't even get in to be heard.
Yes, that can be a situation. Oftentimes it's not that bad, but it is very surprising when you get up on the mountain for the first time and turn your radio on. There is no interference. It is utterly silent. You almost question that your radio is working properly when you get up there for the first time.
Oh, because you don't hear static.
There's no noise. There's no electronics.
Okay.
It is completely, utterly silent. It is actually one of my favorite reasons why I do soda, is it's just so quiet. It's amazing. You start picking up like conversations very easily. Japan, Europe, even from California, you can hear people in Europe. It's a little faint, but you can hear them. Literally, the entire band is alive with activity.
All the bands are alive.
All the time. But because we're down here at the lower level, and all the noise and electronics and all that, it blocks it all out. It blocks out those low signals.
So what is lining up people to make contacts do if you can't even get on the band?
Well, what happens is you make the best plan that you can. You say, I'm gonna try and hop on 14.265 megahertz to do my soda activation. And then you get up there and you realize, oh, there's a guy in Tallahassee that's on 2.65 megahertz. So you have to like slide up or down the frequency space to find an open hole.
Huh.
So I always say, like, you can make a plan, make an alert on soda.
So if you didn't do that, if you didn't line up four contacts to help you out.
Oh, no, you don't line up the four contacts. You just say, like, hey, all, I'm going to be out here at, like, 11 a.m. Try and hit me up.
So how hard would it be if you didn't do that?
Wow. I mean, I don't know.
Because you've never not done that.
I have never not done it.
Yes.
No, I have. I have never not done any of those things.
And then what happened?
I failed. I did not activate.
Wow. It's a wasted hike.
It was the soda hike. The first soda activation I attempted was literally the hardest summit I've ever climbed in my life.
Really?
Yeah. It was really bad. It was Smith Mountain in the San Gabriels. It was really, really tough. The last quarter mile is mostly a scramble, as they call it.
Uh-huh.
It's not vertical, but it is not a path. It's just a quarter mile of going through brush and rock. There's no switchbacks. It's like hand-over-hand climbing, basically.
Wow.
It was, but not vertical. It was still easy. Gotcha. In that sense. But what a pain in the ass. And I got all the way up there, and I couldn't activate it.
Oh, didn't that make you sad?
Oh yeah, I'm gonna go back. I wanna do it. So Kevin hasn't done it. Jerry has not done Smith Mountain. Nobody. There's very few activations that Smith Mountain gets. I want to go back with a super lightweight pack, and just kill it.
Kill that marker.
Yes. That button.
K-murder that button.
K-murder that button. Mike doesn't do soda. He does parks on the air.
POTAs.
He likes to keep his feet on the ground.
Where are the buttons for POTA?
In the lake.
Oh, no.
No. I don't know. There's no buttons for POTA.
It's just the sign for the park, I guess.
No, it's the geographic data for where the park's territory is, long as you're like in that territory, it's good
for the,
yeah, literally the sign. We got to put our antennas on the sign. Yes. And then that qualifies. As long as your antenna's on the sign, you're good.
Yes, activate the sign.
No, doesn't work that way.
Oh, fair enough.
Well, I think that's gonna do it for us tonight.
Yeah. Malbec.
Yeah. Though it was fun. I had fun. Did you have fun?
I had fun.
You got a new laptop or an iPad.
Yeah. It's for designs anyway.
You're already over it, I think. I don't know.
I think the Malbec's making me sleepy. Oh, plus it's almost 1 a.m.
Yeah. So if anybody wants to find out more information about the Hammerty Crash Course, first of all, thank you so much for listening.
Thank you.
You can check us out at the Ham Radio Crash Course on YouTube. We're the Ham Radio Crash Course on Facebook. We're the Ham Radio Crash Course on Discord. But there's links to all those locations in our YouTube videos.
Should people who run into other Ham Radio Crash Courses report them to you? that are not yours.
Well, first you got to get our qualified button. Yeah. And then you have to sew it onto their body.
No, you're supposed to nail it onto the body.
Oh, nail it. Oh, yeah. Wow. We're getting very biblical with our...
I thought you said that's how the markers go in.
Or glued. I think they use glue occasionally. So, I mean, you can use glue. We're okay with glue. Or resin.
I wonder epoxy how resin. Often those markers get stolen.
All the time.
Right?
All the time.
Maybe that's why I didn't see it at Mount Lee. Somebody stole it.
And Hollywood... The mountain for Hollywood has probably, like, if there is a tally mark of time stolen,
yes,
that is probably number one with a button to say been stolen. But you can also check out our merch for Ham Radio Crash Course at hamtactical.com.
Yeah.
And Leia, you are doing a fantastic job.
Oh, thank you.
But she needs more designs.
I do.
I give her designs, and we're working on them. We've been working on them. Every work, we're trying to work on something new. But she would like your opinion of funny and interesting ham radio designs we can try and bring
maybe
out.
Maybe a podcast shirt.
A podcast shirt?
Yeah.
Okay. What does that look like?
I don't know yet. Good thing I've got this iPad.
Okay. All right. Well, again, thank you everybody for listening. Please comment on iTunes or wherever your podcast and send all of your messages, literally all of them, to Leia at hamtactical.com.
No, leave them in the iTunes reviews because...
Well, no, yeah, comment there.
Yes.
But then bring all the questions to Leia. Yeah. hamtactical.com.
Oh, like if you want them answered?
Yeah.
Like accurately? I mean, if people could send me questions, I'll just make stuff up, I guess.
Well, you're making this way more complicated.
Yeah.
if you have ham radio technical questions, yeah, then continue to get answers them. How you would expect to get them by going through me.
I think somebody did ask me a technical
question.
Hey,
Leia, how do I tune my antenna for the maximum resonance?
And I was like,
I need an adult.
Exactly. Josh, I think you need to tap in here.
I'm like, no, Leia,
my forte.
You got this. You're studying for your technician.
And then he like fried a satellite battery. So.
And reset it.
Yes, and reboot.
Just rebooted it. Could you imagine how many patches it had? It was probably running Windows 10.
Windows XP.
It's trying to find Wi-Fi in space right now. Trying to like...
The little paperclip shows
up. I don't even know where... I heard you're a satellite trying to reboot.
Does anybody remember the Microsoft...
Clippy. Clippy.
Wow. I bet a lot of people don't have any idea what we're talking about.
It's the same thing as the save icon. What's a floppy disk? We literally had this discussion this week when I was like, oh, use the power logo. And you're like, what's a power logo?
No, I knew what the power logo is.
And then I said, it's a one or a zero.
And then I was like, are you talking about like the line and the circle on a switch?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but so what's a one and zero mean in computer talk? What does
I literally, I didn't realize it was a one and a zero. I thought it was an open and a close.
Yeah, no, I know. I get that. I get that. But what is the one and zero mean in computer talk?
I don't know, something binary, open or close.
Oh, you got it. Yeah, literally. It's a switch. It's open and closed.
Yeah.
On or off.
But I didn't realize that the one stood for close. I just
You're right, it doesn't.
Was,
it stands for open.
See, that's very confusing because the O should be open.
Why?
And then because visually that's open and then it's closed when it's
literally
flat line.
Leia's holding her hands up right now and she gave me the like crocodile closed hand. Yeah. Like it's an
open,
I, it's
like
a one.
An O and then
Hello.
That's the
Hello.
Opposite.
I'm talking through my O hand right now.
Those are opposite things.
Lance, it's yes. binary.
I get it now.
One means the switch is on. Zero Listen, means the switch is off. I get it now, off.
But at least I know who Clippy is.
You know, there was that time when I was doing Computer Science 101, and then we had that day when we talked about the alligator. And that's what the professor did. And he held his hand up, and he's like, so there's your new shirt. What does the alligator say? Oh, it's open and closed. Open, closed. Open, closed. And from that day, I've never had any questions about this at this point. Yeah.
I'm so glad.
When we work on putting things into space,
yeah,
we always have a thing on the wall, like high up. Remember the alligator. Remember the alligator.
Okay, we're done with this. We're done.
All right, good night, everybody. Please subscribe on YouTube and wherever else you podcast. Please comment. Again, I'll repeat myself. Sorry about that. But join us on all the social medias and remember the alligator.
73.
73.